let's take our Bibles and go to the wonderful book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. In this class on the hope, we have seen that our hope as Christians is the gathering together of the church, and that at the time of the gathering together, that all things will be made right for the church, that the things that have yet to be fully redeemed will be at that time, namely our bodies will receive new bodies, our minds will receive perfect knowledge, which I don't know about you, but that's harder for me to imagine than having a new body. But we will have new bodies, new minds. We'll also be out of this present evil world. We'll be completely out of here and taken to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So at the gathering together, everything's made right for the church. Then comes the Bema, where the believers, Christian believers, will receive rewards for their faithful service here upon earth. Also, with the gathering together, it initiates an incredible period of darkness, the great tribulation that is spoken of throughout the book of Revelation, because that which is currently restraining evil will be taken out of the way, and the adversary simply has his field day on earth, so much so that anyone who does not receive the mark of the beast, anyone who doesn't fall for the deception of Satan, they'll be put to death. What follows that incredible tribulation is Christ's return with his church. All of us return to earth in judgment. And we read about that yesterday in our previous session. And what then comes is the first resurrection. And the first resurrection is of all those that were martyred during the Great Tribulation, post-gathering together. All those that are beheaded for the witness of Christ will be in that first resurrection. And then follows that period of time, a period of 1,000 years where Satan is bound, and that we, the gathered church, the people that are part of that first resurrection, and Jesus Christ reign upon earth for 1,000 years. Then after that 1,000-year period, Satan is loosed for a season. There comes this incredible battle, Armageddon, this incredible battle, and as a result of it, the devil is cast into the lake of fire with the beast and false prophet, and then comes the great white throne judgment. And with that great white throne judgment is the resurrection of everybody throughout human history that's ever lived, with the exception, of course, of the gathered church and of the people who are part of the first resurrection. But everybody else is going to be made alive at the great white throne judgment. Those people whose names are found written in the book of life receive the resurrection of life. And those unjust ones whose names are not written in the book of life receive the second death. Very simply. So at this point in time, basically everything has been brought to judgment. You think about the whole human race, everybody who's ever lived, the church first, then the people that are martyred during the next administration, part of that first resurrection, and then everybody else who's ever lived, whether believer or unbeliever, will all be part of the second resurrection. Those who are unbelievers will be put to the second death, and those that are believers will live for eternity. So the whole human race has been made right by the work of Jesus Christ. Also, the evil spirit realm, that which has been so wrong in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, all of those evil spirits will have been judged and eliminated, most notably Satan. So all, at this point, has been made right. Then what follows, well, keep your finger here in Revelation. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's interesting, 2 Peter chapter 3 speaks of three heavens and three earths. But look at it, it says, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, this is true global warming. This isn't the pseudoscience. This is global warming. This is the destruction of the second earth by fire, fervent heat. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, this is where we get that great song we sing, I am dissolved. No, that's not. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness, holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells what? Righteousness. This is the third heaven, the third earth. This is what Paul in 2 Corinthians writes of being caught away to. This is the revelation that's given to John that's written down in the book of Revelation. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So as part of the redeeming work of Christ, the current heaven and the current earth are going to be eliminated, are going to be gone, they're going to be dissolved. And a new heaven and a new earth that is perfect will be brought about. So this work is so thorough that it includes cleansing the second heaven and the second earth, in fact, dissolving it, and coming a new heaven, a third one, a new earth, a third earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Now, a description of this is in Revelation chapter 21. So it's this great white throne judgment, and then the dissolving of the second earth, the second heaven, that ends the time of restitution of all things. And then comes the seventh biblical administration. It's the one that corresponds to the original paradise. It is the new heaven, the new earth, here described in Revelation 21 and 22 as the New Jerusalem. It says in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. There it is, corresponding to 2 Peter 3, wherein dwells righteousness. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That word first is a very inaccurate translation. It should be translated former. This isn't talking about the first heaven and first earth. That's Genesis 1:1. This is talking about the second heaven and second earth. So I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth were passed away. Read about that in 2 Peter, didn't we? Dissolved, burnt up with fervent heat. And there was no more sea. Now, this word sea here is figurative. It refers to wavering, you know, like the waves of a sea. There was no more wavering. There was no more doubt. There was no more confusion. There was no more of the problems that we're faced with being human beings in this lousy, evil world that we're currently inhabiting. See, there was no more wavering. Everything's been made right. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." You know, in so many ways, Revelation 21, verse 3, defines the purpose of the ages. This is what God has wanted all along. This is God's great desire, to dwell with his people, to the tabernacle of God, to be with men. To dwell with his people, that they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a great statement of his purpose, his great desire and longing. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Man, this is our hope. This is the New Jerusalem. This is that city that's referred to in the book of Hebrews that Abraham and other Old Testament believers look forward to. It's the same thing that we look forward to, the New Jerusalem. And he that sat upon the throne, verse 5, said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a myth. This isn't a story. This is the accurate prophecy of what is going to come, because these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Boy, oh boy, the New Jerusalem, and it's described in detail in all its glory in these next couple of chapters. But there's also a coinciding record that we need to look at in Hebrews chapter 12, because Hebrews chapter 12 is stunning, because it's a who's who of who's going to be in the New Jerusalem. You know, this is the guest list. This is, you know, who's coming? This is going to, who's going to be there? In Revelation describes that city to come as part of the new heaven and new earth. Well, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us who's going to be there. In verse 22 it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Now, the book of Hebrews was written, somewhere in the, around 58 AD, something like that. It's addressed to born-again Hebrews back in the first century. Tremendous book. But why does it say, "Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the heavenly Jerusalem"? Does that mean that the first century believers got there? Of course not. This is a figure of speech, heterosis, where something is stated in the present that is going to be a future reality. And it has the sense that it's so sure that it's going to be brought to pass, that it's stated as currently now. Do you understand? "Ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Now, what follows is a description of who's going to be in the heavenly Jerusalem. The first group listed is an innumerable company of angels. Now, this innumerable company of angels is not the third of the angels that fell with Lucifer. This is not them. They've been eliminated. This isn't talking about fallen Lucifer. This isn't talking about the devil spirit realm. This is talking about all the good angels, all the ones that have served mankind, that have served God through the centuries. All the good angels are a part of this heavenly Jerusalem. And how many of them are there? Well, it's innumerable. It's a lot. An innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly. This word, general assembly, is used of a great festival in Greek literature, the great festival celebrating their god or their gods. And so oftentimes this word would imply the celebration or the worship of, you know, idols. But this heavenly Jerusalem isn't a celebration and worship of idols. This is a celebration and worship of the one true God. It's a great festival. This word, Pangaea, is used of the Olympic Games that were conducted in Greece, and that they would be this great festival and celebration of a god, and everybody would gather, like a national gathering, to celebrate this great festival. Well, this is the greatest festival of all, celebrating the greatest achievement of all, that of Jesus Christ, in celebration and worship of our God, this great general assembly, this incredible festival. Boy, you talk about a party. You talk about a celebration. This is the New Jerusalem when everything's been made right. So it's to the general assembly. And now here's continuation of the list of who's going to be there. The church of the firstborn. You know who that is? That's us. See, we're going to be in this New Jerusalem. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And then the next one listed that's going to be there, of course, to God, the judge of all. You know, God has judged everything at this point, and he's made everything right by the work of his son, Jesus Christ. So who's in this great big festival, this general assembly? Who's in this New Jerusalem? Well, an innumerable company of angels, the church of the firstborn, all the gathered saints, which are written in heaven, God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This is referring to the men, the humans, that have been made perfect in resurrection. In other words, this is talking about the people who are part of that first special resurrection of all those that were martyred for the witness of Christ, and all the just ones that were a part of the second resurrection. So to the spirits of just men made perfect how? By resurrection. And then the last one listed, who will be in the New Jerusalem, is to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Wow, you talk about a who's who. Who's going to be in the New Jerusalem? God, of course, who's the judge of all. His son, Jesus Christ, who's the mediator of the new covenant, the one who brought it about. An innumerable company of angels is going to be there. The church of the firstborn, all of us, our names are written in heaven. We're going to be there. And then all those people who have benefited from the first and second resurrection, the spirits of just men made perfect. Man, you see how God's word fits together? What a revelation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, this is the culmination of the work of Jesus Christ, bringing about that city of perfection, the New Jerusalem, where everything's been made right. God has judged all. And everything has been cleansed by the work of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." He's the firstfruits. The second fruits, if you will be those who are dead in Christ, who rise first at the time of the gathering together. Then the next fruits from the dead will be those part of the first resurrection, those that are martyred for the witness of Christ in the next administration. And then the last fruits, so to speak, from the dead will be those who are part of that that second resurrection. But now, right now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end. And this is the very end point, which we've been reading about. After the throne judgment, after the second resurrection, after the earth is dissolved by fervor and heat, all of that we've been reading about, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. God has put all things under Jesus Christ's feet. But when he, God, says all things are put under him, Jesus, it's evident, it's manifest, that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him, Jesus Christ. And when all things shall be subdued unto Jesus Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Boy, this is the return of everything to its rightful owner. By the work of Jesus Christ, everything's been made right. Everything's been redeemed. Everything's been cleansed. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. An innumerable company of angels. The church of the firstborn that's been redeemed by his precious blood. The martyrs of the next administration that are made perfect in resurrection, as well as all other believers throughout all time who are made perfect in the second resurrection. Everything been made right by Christ, and Christ delivers it all back to God. What a tremendous revelation. What a hope we have. To conclude this teaching series, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Said throughout the years, I haven't seen the end of the movie, but I have read the end of the book. And when you read the end of the book, it all comes out great in the end. Boy, you talk about the goodness of God. You talk about him demonstrating his goodness for all eternity. Look at what he has, what he is, and what he will accomplish through his Son, Jesus Christ. I think that all of us can say, in light of that, verse 20, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly." That's Jesus Christ, his declaration. Surely, not uncertainly, not with any waver or doubt, but surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.